On the trail, the great horned owl flew over me, gently, close enough for its sound, arc down, extrapolated rise and light. Your father walked back down the trail 50 feet, looked, found the bird watching us, whistled, hooted, it turned its head. You and your mother down the hill in trees, prostrate in shade and sun, dappled. Windswept cloud prints across the meadow, the sounds of birds and insects around us and seeping in us, the dry grass, dry dirt, shifting light. That owl, your birth, an owl atop your house, your plans for such birds, and stories of birds and dead boys, all of those herons, they're a wing and they are painted, it's a simultaneity. They all have you in common, and the problem of borrowing what is not mine and trying to make something of it, your eyes on your story that isn't yours, your face reflected, distorted in the grimed chrome of a rented automobile's hubcap. You understand, even as the isosceles swing set transforms into a broken mobile and the yard becomes your crib, what part of the story could last? How much will we attribute to syntax? How can a mouth full of dirt speak music? Was the imperative ever urgent? Tell me how to go about getting on, carrying you, glutting the haphazard forsythia on the barest, most essential sunlight, form something and fire it in a kiln fueled with cigar boxes and ponderosa pine cones, glaze up the prehistory under a salt sheen, keening the song of a restless strait. If weather goes against you, do you give in to it? Our long season ossified the light. What shelf for the hand-tied flies made with mallard feathers? Where in the light to glint sun off their iridescent side stripes? A baguette, a bridge, the salt scent of ocean, the silence of otters, of seals, we were, are, on the ocean, enisled, moony, similar, you luminesced, bringing tidings of riptide, whale tremor, krill-thick baleen licks, the very moon summiting our private mountain, its tree line, and I borrow your story because you, yourself, with friends, with family, buried a boy, a body, wrapped in a blanket, come slight off his face, buried a deceased friend with your hands, your friends, the material you put there, your fingers, my fingers, my two windows admitting light, your eyes, my fingers, my hand, my fingers, your back, your scalp, your arms, your hand, your fingers, your knees, your room, your calves, your ankles, feet, my hands, your feet, toes, your hair, a strand the next day, your face, your forehead, your ears, your arms, your face, your eyes, your neck, your throat, my blankets, my music, my place, my voice, your back, your low light luminescing through the thought sheen of your attention to the world, your voice for addressing domestic cats, your back, every mode parceled into you, I parse the impact of your collapses. I'm getting at a vision of you. I tell the story to myself regarding your funeral position, your fingers releasing material, your hand with its three shadows later, without me, resting against bare paper, its pen. You have buried the corpse of a beloved with fists of sand, dirt, turquoise, and I call it bone rain, or stars. Him a firmament, and I carry a scent, a touch, and vision, watching, want, confluence of what it is that we seem grateful to have. So that was a healthy portion of a solid dose of the long poem in the book. I want to read. I'd like to read this poem here. This was actually written with friends. up in Anchorage, in a writing group, one of the newer-ish poems called We Were Explorers Once. Ice breaks up each spring. The rivers and ocean grow teeth and lose them, place them under pillows of fog, lose them to drifts of warmth in the coldest, killingest depths, where small, edible whales move like clots through a bloodstream, where their shadows in the shallow seas are vaguely alive and vaguely something else, the shape of old ships, the footprints of old explorers tromping crabwise through some imagination. To what end did we venture out of the old world to the end caps of earth, shelterless, wearing comely myths we couldn't dream we would become truths up at the globe's neckline? If our wants are trivial, our best wars are tussles, our worst weather is rhyme on road signs, breath off the water in the morning. I think I'll read this short poem. Maybe just because I like the symmetry of, in the scheme of things, feeling like I'm back close to the only other place I've ever lived where burning trash was like a normal part of life. For a while, when I was a little kid, I lived 12 miles outside of Wilbur, Washington, on a little farm out on Highway 2. Mostly grew up in Idaho, except for, you know, that portion of time when there we were. And yeah, there was a big barrel and there was trash and we would burn it. And it turns out that's actually how it works pretty much in McCarthy out in Wrangell-St. Elias National Park as well. This is a McCarthy poem called Trash Burning. I made your elegant fire downriver under alpine glow. You're newsworthy and obscure, the last North American home, and I roost in the eaves, a cliff swallow. Ash, night, soot marks your face, throat. You are pent, I'm quiet, and we manage to compose ourselves of gravel bar light. I shovel embers haphazardly into the river, burnt news, hiss of burnt paper plates, burnt maps of the backcountry, credit music. More newsworthy than southern experimental forests, you blossom haphazard halfway through summer. There's also a lot of ice. I said there's a lot of water. A lot of the water in the book is frozen. A lot of it is glacial. One of the really interesting things about living in a place like the Wrangell Mountains out in Wrangell-St. Elias is just the real evidence of geologic change. You can sort of see it. I mean, even seasonally, even like week to week, there's just extreme changes that happen that are significant, you know, landslides, huge floods that change everything, you know, the glacier's melting fast, and as it moves, the forest moves accordingly, filling in the space, earthquakes. I mean, it's an alive place. Coming to Seattle, you know, Seattle is basically, if you live in Alaska, Seattle feels sort of like an outpost, right? It's like Alaska South. Everybody comes through here, or vice versa, and it's just an easy, in the scheme of things, an easy jaunt to get here. And the plane ride from Anchorage to here, when the weather's right, and if you're on the left, the port side of the plane, if you're heading south, when it's good, it doesn't get better. It's just an amazing flight, and it's like time traveling. I mean, I feel that way personally, because I came from here and I went north. And when I left Bellingham and you know, went up to Alaska, the first time on my own, I sailed up in a small boat. But it's also like, you know, interesting to leave a very glaciated place and come to a place that's formerly glaciated, and there's some glaciers left in the Cascades and over in Montana and the Rockies, but not much. And anyway, if the weather's just right, you can see the St. Elias Range from the plain, and you can see the Wrangell Mountains too. You can see the Bagley Ice Field, which is the largest ice cap in the world that's not like at one of the poles. And you can see Mount St. Elias, which is often is defined as the sort of northernmost point of Cascadia, the bioregion Cascadia that we're in here, smack in here right now. And in the scheme of things, my little spot in McCarthy is not too far from there, so it's fun to sort of, you know, be looking out the plane window and, you know, spot mountains I know and spot valleys I know really well, and sort of have that orientation. And then see territory I've only ever seen on that flight from 30,000 feet, you know, like the Malaspina Glacier and Icy Bay and all this crazy stuff. And it's mind-boggling how few people are looking out the window. I mean, even when it's like as good as it gets and people pay like thousands and thousands of dollars to fly around and see this stuff, there we all are. And so often people are just totally clueless. But anyway, it's always comforting to see that. And then you hit Vancouver basically, and the plane starts to descend. I mean, they start landing in the approach. They start the approach to SeaTac pretty much in Vancouver. So we're flying over Vancouver and Bellingham, which was home for 5 years, and then suddenly here we are. And so it was fun, you know, whatever that was 4 hours ago, reflecting on that. And yeah, it's like I said earlier, it's fun to be here tonight. This reading sort of kicks off a little trip that's gonna have me moving around for close to 6 weeks. I'll go from here to Minneapolis in the morning for the AWP conference, and then I'll be back in Montana and here and, you know, elsewhere in the Northwest for a bit. Actually, I should mention I will actually read again in Seattle in the It's About Time Writers Reading Series on May 14th, and then Village Books in Bellingham on May 6th. And I'm very excited to be going to the Cascadia Poetry Festival up in Nanaimo this year on Vancouver Island. It'll be awesome. And actually, I have a special spot in my heart for Nanaimo because I bought my crappy old little fixer-upper sailboat there back in the day that I eventually sailed north. So that'll be a fun little full circling. And the Get Lit Festival in Spokane, et cetera. And then I'm actually driving my new-to-me old truck up the Alcan back to McCarthy. So that'll be a pretty crazy trip. It'll be fun to think about right now in like 6 weeks when I'm rolling down the dirt road to McCarthy. Back to Glacier Country. And so this is a McCarthy poem, a glacier-ish poem. Oh yeah, that's one thing that's neat about that area too. You can really see really clearly in the land, like the sort of the old ice extents from the little ice age. You can very crystal clearly see where the glaciers used to be. And a lot of them haven't even really kind of grown over too much yet. So it's all just plainly written right there. The smallest ice age. I barreled into your tempting weather. I have it in me to be a weed in you. I plummeted into the stillmost pools and breathed water. I breathe water. I am not shy to say I am thirsty. You're the water, you are snow, and I have thirst. From the smallest ice age, I'm thirsty. I am born by ice toward you. Are you stationary? Is this lake bed real? Would you finger paint the story for me using this pasty mud made of glacial silt? There are places high where every bird is a miracle. Are you the updraft shepherding birds into heights? Are you the pollen of the flowers looking, leaking color out where colors are as mineral as bodies, where rockfall splashes brilliantly to lakes, where the brain dribbles a river out to other distant rivers? Are we tied here? Are we affronted by nothing, behind one another, beside ourselves, surrounded ourselves here by this? I think I'll read two more. Is that assuming they're still? How are we doing on time? No, I'll read.
Don't forget my book.
All right, two more. Steeped. Outside the cabin, black rain runs into a glass rainbow, an actual one lighting an actual willow bush already turned yellow inside the still green forest. I think I'll never leave, and in staying, I will drink a lifetime's worth of the kind creek. I say, I'll meet you in town in 1 month, and we'll eat dinner. 2,000 miles down the coast, a black bear swims to an island capped with a house and bites holes in a rubber zodiac that deflates as the sun comes up. The family, asleep inside, is stranded, and the animal is gone when they wake. Inside my cabin, I boil rainwater for tea and listen to the birdless quiet as leaves steep and slabs of color bleed back into the wet light. These poems are not next to each other in the book, and I'm realizing they both sort of end with steeping leaves. Oh well. These are the obvious things that you recognize all too late. Thumbnail spring song. Even now, I do not believe it, despite weather slipping its wilted noose of braided dandelion stems around summer's throat down on the lower hemline of the bank, which looks wet and is. That swollen creek was new when we arrived. The weather around us explains exactly what happens on the coast. Inland, the ruins of white houses all transformed actual acts of conversion into mossy roofs and gaping windows, lost teeth. A spider suspends itself in a glassless window pane, one dark kernel against a glinting wet distance where a black bear swims from one island to another. We thrill at its tracks as if our seeing them mattered. Give me distancelessness, give humility. Wait 17 minutes and the moon will show on the ridge. Lie down but keep your eyes open to hear evening translated through bird throats. Hold ground but retreat into the watery calls. Thumbnail spring songs, make the river a mantra. For now, you have juncos and sparrows, swallows and redpolls. The ravens notice you there on the bank where the sun stained the exposed skin of your neck and ears, the skin of your perfect features. The sun has grown this meal, so eat, eat, eat it. Drink the water, stay home here, come home where the hot water has its moments with the steeping leaves. Yeah.